Well, good afternoon to everyone and all present today. Thank you for coming. And for those of you who are listening by podcast, we thank you for tuning in, or even if you're not here today, you're maybe listening later. But nevertheless, we are glad that you have the thirst and the desire to seek the Word of God for clarity and revelation that will help you through your journey and give you the discernment and the understanding of the end times. We're still in the Revelation. We're beginning Revelation 19, the 19th chapter of Revelation. And we're winding it down, but I need to, again, remind everyone that the final chapters of this book will be a bit more a little more symbolic. So remember that the symbols are the symbols we must understand to be able to walk it through and get understanding. I am so glad that you all have this thirst and desire, because it has helped me as I studied and prepared for this myself. And I'll be honest with you, I was one of them people that too, I don't know if I want to go there. I don't know about all that, because I the Old Testament was enough scary when the Lord said, "I want you to clean out everybody." That was a bit much. And then the earth swallowing up people and the prophets offing folks. I said, and Revelation to that. But again, it is all for our understanding. When we open up our hearts and our spirits, teachable to the Holy Spirit, which I can assure you, it will become to you as clear as crystal spring water. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so let's get moving here. Let's have someone for us begin. Can I have some? Well, let me just, before we begin, Revelation chapter 19. This chapter is talking about the second coming of Christ, which we will read in verses 1 to 21. And then verses 1 to 10 is the announcements. Now, you will find out, okay? So, if we can have someone... in our Western church, we praise God with hallelujah. Mm-hmm. You will read in the scripture today, hallelujah, which is the Jewish pronunciation of our hallelujah. And hallelujah is in defined in Hebrew as praise the Lord.
Yes.
This word appears only in this chapter. You will never see it in any chapter in the book. It only appears in this chapter, and in the entire New Testament, you hear this word. Now, I didn't say anything about the Old Testament. But it does appear as a brief doxology in several psalms. If you want to look at one, for example, Psalms 150, verses 1 and verse 6, you'll see the doxology of hallelujah in there. Okay, so let's get started. Can we have someone read verses 1 to 3? 1 to 3 for us, quickly.
"And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgment, for he has judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and has avenged the blood of his servants at her hands. And again, they said, hallelujah, and her smoke rose up forever and ever, and the 24 and 20
elders..." We're going to stop at 3, baby. Okay. Thank you. Okay. In the vernacular of the Western world, whore is identified as a sexual promiscuous person. Well, that's true, because that's exactly what the world has done. They become, and the church, those that have begun to kind of fall by the wayside, begin, what the Lord said, when you start messing with other folks and interacting with them, you horn. That, you know, there are people out here now who are professing to be Christians, and they have belonged to a church or maybe attended a church, and something happened, they became very hurt and disappointed and wounded. And they I have some in my family. I'm not going and put my foot in another church, you know, rather it was whatever the reason was. But then these people will say, okay, so they get a little bit of conviction and say, well, I got to go to the house of God somewhere. So I just pop over here and see what they have to say. And if it feels good to me, then I might say, but then I'll pop over here. And then the old preachers used to say, now you can't eat from everybody's table. You can't eat from, you get spiritual indigestion. Well, that is in the sense of whoring, because you are just going around, just grazing and everything, and then you make up your own justification of how to use the word of God in your life or how to apply it. And that's what we have today in many of our brethren in the faith. They just take what they want and apply it if it's comfortable for them. You know, we don't hear about sin and iniquity anymore. Those words are not, I doubt if most young people know what iniquity means. You know, not to mention some older ones, because you don't hear about it. We hear about, it's not transgressions, they're indiscretions. You know, they're all everything, but they sin. That's all they are, sin. And nobody wants to talk about sin. So after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in the heavens saying, so those are the saints. Those are the ones that are praising God. Can somebody, before I get further into this, I think 3 to 5 will give us a little more, 4 to 5 will meet this up a little bit with 1 and 3. Can somebody read 4 and 5?
Okay. And the 24 elders and the 4 living creatures fell down and worshiped God who sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah.
Number 5.
Then a voice came from the throne saying, Praise our God, all you his servants and those who fear him, both small and great.
Okay. So what we have here is these triumphant praises to God. So, you know, this chapter, it begins with a picture of the redeemed saints, because they're all praising God. They're singing hallelujah, right? So this is a picture of the redeemed saints in heaven singing triumphant praises to God with all their hearts. Now, the saints are praising God. They're praising God for the justice and righteousness of his judgments on Babylon, and for salvation from sin and from the power of Satan. Listen, they sing in praises to God for the salvation and the power of Satan. We need to be praising God for our salvation and the praise and the power of Satan, because it's full throttle now. It's full throttle. It's full throttle. And if you don't see wickedness out here, then Bartimaeus could see better than you could. Okay. So here we have the people praising God for his judgments for Babylon and for salvation from sin and the power of Satan. All the heavenly beings join their voices proclaiming hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. All heaven is filled with unutterable joy in the love of God. I mean, there's just no ending to the joy and the love of God, with rejoicing at the eradication of evil from this universe.
Amen.
Mm. Ooh. Mm. Mm-hmm. Ooh. So, well, I know not you all in here, but some of us, you know, when the Lord does things for us, even small things, that's personally to you, you know that was God that did it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, oh, yeah. Lou, you know, if an axe handle can float, you, Brother Simon, you lose a screwdriver or something, you misplace it, and you know you gotta finish this job. Lord, help me with this, cause I don't know what I did with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happened? Sure. You know, quiet in your spirit. Say, you know, some people say something told me. No, the Lord told you in your spirit where it is. I mean, I've gotten to the point now where I tell you, y'all, I just thank God for everything. Everything. Because I'm telling you, I don't know about you guys, but as I get older, I seem to have less patience with myself. You know? And when I lose stuff, I mean, there was a time I say, okay, I'll find it. Now I be getting all rattled and everything. You know, stop everything. Got to find it like that woman looking for her thing as piece of what was a silver in the house or something. You know, just stop everything. I just say, Lord, you know I need this, and so I ask you to, you know, help me find it, Lord. Just something simple. And yeah.
I was going to say late last week, I was going to put a light switch on my wife's closet so that she always leave the light on inside the closet, but she didn't close the door. And so she don't know it. And when I go in that bathroom, which is connected, for whatever reason, I always look at the bottom, and I can see the light on up under the door. So I bought this switch, and I'm getting ready to put it in. I, mind you, for a living, this was my first jobs that I had as a kid. And I've been wiring houses since I was about 11 years old. I couldn't figure out how that switch. I got hot. I started pressing my arm. I put it down, and I told them that I got to think about it. So the rest of the day, I didn't bother. And then, like about 4 o'clock in the morning, I woke up, and there it was, plain as day. And so when she got up, I told her. I said, the Lord told me how to hook that switch up. I'm going to try to hook it, and it went just like it said.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I tell you, it is. You just took the word out of my mouth. It's amazing the things that God will do to show you. And just to know that He is ever present everywhere, you know, and He's still right with you, helping you to get that.
Yeah.
That's enough to make you. And He's everything that concerns you.
Yeah.
I had an incident last week where it was driving me nuts about something. And I told the Lord, I said, I can't, this is troubling me, Lord. I need you to take it. And He did. He did something that I knew because I gave it to Him and I trusted Him.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, I'm just giving you a freebie, y'all. If you just turn it loose, turn it loose, and give it to Him, and just you have to train it to get out your mind, you know, get it out your mind and give praise to God, and I can assure you, in time, you will see the goodness of God with your supplication.
Amen.
I know this is off the thing here, but, you know, when it comes to encouraging us to praise God. We have to share testimonies.
Yes.
We have to encourage because every one of us in this room have some challenges in our lives with our family, whatever it is. We've got some. And when you see the goodness of God in your life, you need to share it. You need to tell others to encourage them.
Yes.
Because that's what strengthens our faith is when we see, and he is no respecter person.
That's right.
Now, you want to see respecter person is what does the Lord say? When you pray and you don't have faith mixed with it, well, what you expect?
Right.
You know, come on. You can't bake bread without yeast.
Amen.
So that was a freebie. Okay. So now we're going to go. Someone for us, verses 4 to 5 for us, please. Oh, we did that. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I just get so excited here. Yeah, I do. I get so excited when I start talking about how good the Lord is. Verses 6 to 7. Mm-hmm. 6 and 7, somebody for us, please.
And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude and the sound of many waters, and as it sound of a mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God is Lord God omnipotent reigns.
Mm-hmm.
Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come.
Ooh.
And his wife has made her ready.
Okay. How about somebody 8:9. Let's keep it going.
And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright.
Mm.
For the fine linen is the righteousness mm-hmm. acts of the saints. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb.
Mm-hmm.
And he said to me, those are the true sayings of God.
Mm. All right. So now, as we said, now we're the marriage supper of the Lamb, and the announcement is made. That's when we said the announcement has been made. The marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife had made herself ready. Christ receives his kingdom, which is called his bride. See, again, this is symbolism. The kingdom is the Lord's bride. And you will see that in Revelation 21:9. It's referenced there. And is symbolized, okay, and is symbolized by the New Jerusalem.
Yes.
Okay? So what we have now is the new bride, the announcement of the new bride, and the announcement of the New Jerusalem. And the New Jerusalem is the new heaven and earth. Okay? So can we get someone to read... just turn to Revelation 21:9-10 quickly. Someone quickly. Revelation 21:9 verses 9-10.
One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and said to me, come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb.
Mm-hmm.
And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high,
mm-hmm.
and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem,
mm-hmm.
coming down out of heaven from God.
Okay. Wow. Now, note, the bride is the holy city of New Jerusalem. Because we see where Christ received his kingdom, okay, which is called his bride, which is the New Jerusalem. Okay? Not the saints, but the New Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the scripture says she is clothed in fine linen, clean and white. The fine linen is the righteousness of Jesus, which he gives to all who receive him as Lord. Okay, all believers are clothed in righteousness. That is the clothing that admits you to the supper, to the feast, your righteousness. Okay, so you know the fine linen is the righteousness of Jesus, which he gives to all who receive him as Lord. The host of the redeemed are the citizens of his glorious kingdom. Thus, his bride, that's Christ's church, and kingdom is symbolically clothed in the righteousness of the saints. So what we're saying here is the righteousness clothes the saints, okay? Jesus is Lord makes you righteous, okay? You are then justified in the sight of God and clothed in righteousness. So when the Lord looks at all those who receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, all he sees is his righteousness of his Son on you. Praise he sees no past sins,
praise the Lord.
You know, even what you said 5 minutes before you got here. All he sees is the righteousness. And the righteousness, listen, the righteousness, all the promises of God in the Bible are for the righteous saints when he says you can come boldly to the throne of grace in your time of need or time of trouble, right? Mm-hmm. You come boldly because you come through the blood of the Lamb.
Okay.
Yes.
So we have to see what we have. When we became born again, the power, the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ, which raised him from the dead, is in you. Now, how you walk in victory and overcomers as an overcomer is that you use the power of the Holy Spirit, which you submit. And anybody hearing me right now on this line who says something told me so, and you're a believer, I really would encourage you to stop it. Because that's the Lord speaking to you. That's not something. That's the Lord. And we have to give him honor and reverence and honor. The Lord told me this.
Yes.
The Lord spoke to me and said this. Now, keep on saying something told you so, and something is going to tell you something. Okay? And then you're going to figure out, well, how did I get here? You know?
We let culture, our environment,
dictate to us
how we speak, how we praise, because, you know, when we say, oh, the Lord dropped this into my spirit. We're concerned about what people around us think.
Right.
We have to get beyond that.
Yes. That's you have, right. And also you use that with discernment.
Yeah.
You know, you're right, speaking in boldness, but you know, as you there are times when you may not be able to because of. But I agree with you, Rose, in boldness, and I will, because I mean. I really have to keep myself in check from righteous indignation when I go in the store and I hear people throwing the name of Jesus around like a tennis ball, you know, or some, just like they use the other choice words they use. No, I mean, I have to rise up. I have to sometimes put my hand over my mouth or put my hands on my head, you know, I'm serious, because it's so insulting to me, and so it's just terrible. But you know, I understand that they have no knowledge. They don't even know. You know, people be buying stuff on TV and say, "Oh, hallelujah!" Do you know what you're saying? You know, again, you're governed by the culture, by the world of ungodliness. You know, so. Here now we're seeing the announcement of the marriage supper of the Lamb. Can we have a reader just verse 10 for us? Verse 10 for us.
And I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, "See that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy."
The angel tells John to worship God only.
Amen.
Angels and prophets are both created beings, okay? In other words, we both, that is the angels and humanity, are created beings. We are the believers. The angels also, the heavenly angel. Now let me get this straight with y'all, heavenly angels, because we got some other kind, okay? So we humans who are born again with the heavenly angels, we are created to be servants to the Lord. We are created being servants of the Lord, servants of God, trusted with a common task to bring prophecy called here, what we hear here, the testimony of Jesus to mankind. So now, you ain't got to be thinking you got to, you know, you got to, you know, but prophecy is to tell of, okay, to give what's coming. You don't have to be a mantle, a prophet with a mantle, to talk about the end times and what will happen in the wrath of God without salvation.
Right.
Okay? So we are servants of God, every one of us. There are prophets that have been called in the role and in the mantle of a prophet, but we are all ministers. We all minister the word of God's salvation, the of grace and truth. The grace of God and the truth that brings salvation. So this is what I found so really good tasting here, was that we're angels, the heavenly angels, and the born again are servants of God. And God, we're servants of God that are trusted. Not trusted is very profound. That's a given that you are honorable, you have integrity, you are willing to be of truth. You know, I'm not giving the Webster definition here, but just as I see it, the trusted with a common task. Common means all of us together to bring prophecy called here, the testimony of Jesus to mankind. Amen, amen. Amen. Okay, any questions so far? So far, comments? Come on, talk.
I want to say this thing, as we were talking about giving God credit, praise, yes, honor. Before I was truly saved, naturally, I joined church when I was a kid, but anyway, when I grew up just like the other weeds did. But anyway, I left my home area and I moved to Chicago thinking that I was going to find a job in the construction industry. That's what I was doing. And I didn't. And I wound up getting a job in a factory, just what I was doing was writing labels on metal stuff, though. And anyway, it was just a low-paying job. I was not serving God, but God blessed me. One day, the chief engineer came out and told me that he put a job on the board and he wanted me to put in for it. I told you this story. And I went and I looked at it, and the job said design engineer. And I come by glad. I don't know nothing about being no engineer. And he said, don't you worry about that. You just put in for that job. So I did. And maybe the last 20-some years I worked there, I worked my way up to be this senior design engineer.
Praise God.
And very similar to what I was telling you before, I would have sometime a problem designing a machine, something, because I kind of like learn on the fly, right? And the same things used to happen to me. I would be asleep at night. I had this problem working up, trying to figure it out all day. I can't come up with nothing. And at night, give me the answer. Mm-hmm. And people that I was working for, they thought I was really smart.
Well, you were. you were. See, you know, what was what the scripture said? Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of Light. That's a gift. Yeah. Your knowledge in the world system that you get from God, that's a gift.
Yeah. Well, that's why I like now to give the honor, because at the time,
yes,
I was ignorant.
Yeah.
I didn't know it that way. Mm-hmm. I didn't know where it came from. Mm-hmm. But I do know how it came.
Mm-hmm.
And it happened a lot of times.
Praise God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I hear Christian doctors say that too. They have a problem with a patient and God to give them an answer.
Mm. Yeah, it just comes to you.
That's good.
And it works like a charm. It never fails.
Well, we're going to, before we stop here at 11, because we have our handouts we need to go over and it's kind of lengthy. Are there any questions or comments thus far? We now see the New Jerusalem, who the New Jerusalem. Now we see the redeemed saints who see God, righteous, his judgment for the wicked and so forth. So we are going to stop here at 11, and we'll pick up next week at 11 and
1911.
And what we'll do, Miss Rose.
Mm-hmm. Chapter 19.
It's fine. There you go. That's 7. And this is 8. So here we started with escape last week. We were part 1. Is that not so? We're now with part 2 of the escape. I bet you. I know. I never looked at it this way before. As God providing escape for Noah and his, and I never, you know, looked at it that way, or even looked at that that we who would be taken away with Christ would be escaping the wrath. You know, an escape. So what God's saying here? Okay, so you want to know about escape? I did something before that.
Right.
Okay, mm-hmm. So the Lord Jesus says that there is a clear coalition between the two historical events and God's end time dealing with believers and unbelievers. And here it is: as it was in the days of Noah, so will it also be. So will it also in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank. They married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot. They ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, mm-hmm. it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Mm-hmm. Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. And you can read that, okay, in Luke 17, 26 to 30. Also read Genesis chapter 6, 7, and 19 in your study time, please. Now, because of the depravity which characterized the time of both Noah and Lot is typical of the spiritual, moral, and social decline of the last days, the following collation between the historical and end times conditions should be made. Illustration 1. In the times of Noah and Lot, anarchy prevailed as people in those lawless and promiscuous societies did just as they pleased. Violence was most common means used to resolve conflict. So it will be again. 2. In the times of Noah and Lot, morality, depravity was widespread. People became so corrupt that they were wicked in every intent of their thoughts. So will it be again. In the times of Noah and Lot were excessive materialistic and adapted promiscuous lifestyles involving all sorts of lasciviousness, including sodomy, derived from the name of Sodom, so will it be again. In the times of Noah and Lot, people scoffed at the believers and chose to ignore the prophetic warnings of forthcoming judgments. They regarded them as far-fetched speculation and continued with their reckless lives. So will it be again. In the times of Noah and Lot, God gave the degenerate sinners reasonable time to repent of their evil ways. They refused to repent and therefore sealed their own fate. They had only themselves to blame for their downfall and punishment. So will it be again. In the times of Noah and Lot, God offered a way of escape to the believers at the critical moment before he turned his wrath to punish the wicked. The order of events was first the prophetic warnings about the impending judgment, then the safeguarding of the believers who took heed of the appeal to repent, and ultimately outpouring of wrath upon the wicked. So will it be again. In the times of Noah and Lot, there was no security for normal believers whose hearts were still devoted to the things of this world. Lot's wife was a type of those believers who only have an outward form of godliness, but are still spiritually dead. This false pretense cost her her life at the last minute. So will it be again. In the times of Noah and Lot, an awful disaster struck this world soon. After the evacuation of the believers, death and destruction occurred as never before in history. So will it be again. 9. In the times of Noah and Lot, the wicked did not realize how many privileges and blessings they enjoyed due to the presence of a few believers in their midst.
Hallelujah.
Oh, yes. God was prepared to pardon a whole city if there were only 10 believers in it. When these believers who shone like lights in a wicked and perverted generation were taken out of the way, complete spiritual darkness characterized the godless and provoked the anger of God. So will it be again. In times of Noah, people scoffed at the builders of the ark and in their ignorance were unaware of their peril. Until the flood came and took them all away, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. Matthew 24:39. The minds of those at enmity with God are darkened and they persist in pride and rebellion until disaster and judgment overtakes them. Unbelievers will not be worthy to escape the approaching tribulation, which is God's judgment on a sinful world. So wow. You can see the characteristics of the escape that God has provided then and now until Jesus comes. Okay.
Well, it makes me feel good that we as Christians can hold back the devil.
Oh yeah, depending on the warfare, it may seem like it's hopeless and you're defenseless, but you can, and you do it with the Word of God.
Yeah.
You do it, and see what I found when I was doing this was when I came across the time of Lot's wife. Her pretense of believing in God, her form of godliness, mm-hmm. but her lack of faith, you know, because so drawn to that materialism and the way that she was leaving. I mean, they was running with only a few things that they had. Shoot, they was living in luxury, you know, and they left all their big screen TVs and their Mercedes, you know, and their granite top counters, you know, and their beautiful hardwood floors and all that, and you know, and oh, you know, I'm gonna, she looked back.
Fur coats.
Yeah, she looked back. And that pretense cost her life. So that form of godliness without the faith can cost you. That's why the Lord said, in days, last day, they'll be calling me Lord, Lord. He said, depart from me, I never knew you. He ain't talking to unbelievers.
Right.
He talking to believers, talking to pretense of
lukewarm.
Yeah, those those that are pretending, you know, the perpetrators. You're talking to the perpetrators, because where does judgment start first?
In the house of God.
Okay. So, Father, we just thank you for this time. Thank you for, Lord God, for giving us understanding. Lord, I thank you for these, your wonderful children here who come every week faithfully. Lord God, I pray that you will bless them, bless their families. Lord God, in every situation that is causing any kind of havoc or conflict, Lord, we say and pray and exalt in the name of Jesus, it is done. It is done and it is well. So, Father, bless your children, Lord. Bless them. Watch over them as they travel today to their destination or on duties that they must carry out, tasks. Lord, in every type of affliction that is trying to come up against your people in their bodies and in their minds, I cast it to hell and I bind it up in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I declare wellness, restoration, wholeness, prosperity, and the peace of God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Resting in and among your people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.